Pursuing a personal relationship is going to involve with God. That is, pursuing a personal relationship with God is going to involve quieting our soul. A lot of activity goes on in our soul. Your soul being your mind, your will, your emotions. Lots of activity there. And you have to learn to quiet that so you can cultivate the Spirit. We won't talk about that this morning. So you can learn to experience God yourself. Firsthand, see, God's nature is spiritual. Therefore, a personal encounter with God is going to be, have to be on a spiritual plane. It's not going to be on the soul of faith. We can listen with your natural ears, but you're going to miss that. Rarely has God stepped in time. He has occasionally and spoken to someone in their natural realm. But most of our encounters with God are going to be on a spiritual plane. And we need to learn where that's found. Your spiritual plane is in your inner man. Your inner man. The Bible speaks of your inner man and the need to be strengthened with power there. Let's look at our nature. Because our nature is composed of three parts. We have our body, which is the physical dimension. Your hormones, your bones, your muscles, your nerves, your skin, and all those physical things that are going on with you. Your soul. Your soul would be those psychological part of your nature. Your thoughts, your feelings, which would include moods and attitudes. They're part of your soul. Your ability to choose and decide is there in your with your soul. And then your spirit. That spiritual dimension, the deepest part of you. And it is the part where God's Spirit resides. The Holy Spirit dwells in our spirit. That's where there is a oneness. So to experience God, you need to learn how to enter into the Spirit. Quiet the soul and the body to experience God in the way. Now each of these, your body, your soul, and your spirit, they interact with each other. The physical affects the psychological. Your physical body can affect your psychologically. For example, some of you deal with constant pain or dizziness or some physical continual trauma. And that affects your soul, doesn't it? It affects your mood. It affects your mind. It affects your feelings. So your body can affect your soul. And we know that our soul, psychologically, that part of our nature can affect our body. What's the first thing that will happen if you start to get irritated? Will your body respond? Yes. We can check your pulse. Your breathing will increase. Your respiration increases. Your blood pressure increases. So your physical body responds to your soul. And what's beautiful is that your spirit can also affect your soul. If your spirit guides your soul and helps your soul calm down, then your soul helps your body calm down. So each can affect the other. The most important for us as a believer is our spirit. And so a mature believer is one who has learned to live by the Spirit and not let their body or their soul be the deciding factor in what goes on in their life. They have learned to cultivate that inner life of the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, Paul says this, desire very strongly to lead a quiet life. In the Greek, the word is esukazo. Here's what the idea is. It is a God produced calm, which includes an inner tranquility that supports appropriate action. You know, inwardly, and Sammy, just stay here with me for a minute. Inwardly, we can be our soul, our spirit, and our soul when our spirit is in control and guiding our soul to a stillness. Inside of us, we can be like a beautiful surface of a lake on the morning before there's any wind, and it's like glass. When the surface of a pond or a lake is like glass. What does it reflect? It reflects the heavens. It reflects that which is above it. And it's a beautiful thing. But when there's a lot of wind or there's a storm, water doesn't reflect things, does it? When it's all disturbed. You know what disturbed water does? It picks up sediment. And when water picks up sediment, it makes it muddy and you lose the visibility. And inwardly, when we are disturbed, we lose a clarity that affects how we see things. We need to learn to deal with that. See, okay, ready, next one. Same. Spiritual sensitivity is cultivated in an atmosphere. Pay very close attention to this. Spiritual sensitivity is cultivated in an atmosphere of minimal soul turbulence. Minimal. You must learn to minimize. You know what turbulence is, right? That's that stuff that the pilot comes over the loudspeaker and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we ask you to sit back in your seat, to put your seatbelt on. We are about to enter some turbulence." That means there's some crosswinds that are difficult to deal with, and they throw you around. How many of us know what we're talking about? You get thrown around by mental emotions. You get thrown around by your feelings. You get thrown around by moods. You're experiencing inner turbulence. And it's very difficult to cultivate a spiritual sensitivity if you're dealing with all kind of emotional, soulish turbulence. These are what these are. These mental and emotional agitations. You know what? They create an atmospheric disturbance. And you know what happens? There's another word, a simple word for an atmospheric disturbance. You know what we call it? A storm. When there's a storm going on the inside, we're not still. We're not at rest. And it is very difficult to experience the world of the Spirit and the communication with the Spirit. Psychological noise. You see that? How many of you feel that way sometimes? It can easily drown out the still small voice of the Spirit. And what am I basing that calling God's speaking to us, a still small voice? Do you remember Elijah's nervous breakdown? You realize that a prophet of God had a nervous breakdown? Yeah. And one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. You remember when was the nervous breakdown? You didn't realize it was right after the greatest victory, after he literally won the challenge of between who is God, and the Lord answered Elijah by fire and exposed the false prophets of Baal and Ashtoreth before all the people, and all the people put the false prophets to death and declared the Lord is God. I mean, what a major victory. Elijah was a major part of that. And then one lady, Jezebel, said, "Far be it from me if the fate for you is not the same as what happened to those prophets." And he lost it. He just lost it. He had a breakdown. And he took off in a pit of despair and depression. And even so that he got out into the wilderness and sat down under a tree. And the Lord had to send an angel to him. And the angel said to him, "The journey's too far, too much for you. Just too much to bear." And so the angel brought him some nourishment and encouragement. And Elijah then went on to the mountain of God, Horeb, the same mountain that God revealed himself to Moses. And Elijah got on this mountain, and the Lord told him to stand in the cave and I'll speak to you. And when the Lord said that, the first thing that happened is there was a great wind, like a tornado. And it was literally splitting rocks apart and throwing them. And it says, but the Lord was not in the wind. And then there was this great earthquake that shook the mountain. But it says the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then following the earthquake, there was this great fire. And it says, but the Lord was not in the fire. And then after the fire, Elijah heard a still small voice. And he recognized it was the presence of the Lord. And he actually covered his face lest he see the Lord and die. He covered his face and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then the Lord began to speak to him. in this still small voice. It doesn't take God yelling for us to hear. He speaks with a softness. He's not a bully. If you want to ignore him, he can be. There's this song, "Quiet Please." Too much has already been said. Just let it be and learn to listen instead. For sometimes in the silence, great problems become small. And the reason that is because sometimes when you're silent, the quiet voice of God will show you the way of escape from all that turmoil of what you're going through and you're feeling. And it'll just settle it. God will settle it. It's almost like Jesus stands up inside the boat in you. And he did what he did on the Sea of Galilee. But he's talking to your mind. And he's talking to your emotions. And what does he say? Peace be still. And he commands the inside of you to just stop. And the storm stops. And suddenly there's some clarity. Spiritual clarity. From this quietness. David also had this testimony in Psalms chapter 40. And I first learned this, it wasn't long after having met my wife, who at college, who loved the scripture. Ladies can love the scripture as much as men do. Dina would carry around a strong concordance. You know what that is? It's a book that helps you study the original meaning of the words of the Bible. She had her own Strong's concordance. And I learned this from her. And this that from Psalms 40, where David says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He brought me out of the horrible pit," or a slimy pit, "out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock." Well, I learned from her that she found out that the Hebrew word for pit had to do with noise. And doesn't it feel like just a pit of noise when on the inside you are all worked up, when you're all stirred up, when you're all agitated, you're bent. They say bent out of shape, or you're out of sorts. Oh. It takes the Lord rescuing us from that and taking us out of that noisy place and giving us a place of peace and quiet to experience him. And he'll do that. Psalms 132. David said this, and he learns this. Here's an example. And this is something you and I must learn to do with the help of the Lord. "Neither do I concern myself with great matters." You know what we need to do sometimes? You know, it's a problem that is very pressing. You know, you've probably heard this before. Someone will say, just sleep on it. Let it down. Set it aside. Well, David was kind of learned this himself. "I do not concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul." Now that, if we learn to do this, we will, you know what we'll reduce? We will reduce foot and mouth disease by great strides.
All right.
Yeah. We will reduce, we'll fix running at the mouth. We'll fix freaking out. We'll fix it. Calm your soul before it makes a fool of you. Because your soul will just cause you to do things that are inappropriate. Not the best response. Even if they work. Look, it worked when I raised my voice at my children. It worked. But I learned that if that's the way I had to control them, I established the bar. So they wouldn't even listen to me until I got to a certain pitch.
All right.
You see? Instead of training them to hear, look, if Daddy says it, you do it. I mean, you don't have to yell. God doesn't need to yell. When we are in tune with Him, the quietness and the peace of His voice has a powerful effect on our soul. And David learned to quiet his own soul. "Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." You know the difference in a weaned child and a child that's still nursing? a child that is still nursing, if a mother holds it right there, what's that child thinking? It's time to eat. And it's going to be and if that's not what's on the mother's mind, that child's going to be wrestling to eat, want to eat, want to eat. But when the child has been weaned and the mother holds it there, show them what it looks like, Samuel. Show them what it looks like. Just content. Just bonding. No words. Just close. Just the warmth of two people embrace. And that's when the wrestling... You see what word is right in the middle of wrestle? Rest is right in the middle of wrestle. And by the voice of God, by the help of God, you can learn to bring spiritual rest out of the wrestling of your soul. You can, like David did, I have stilled and quieted my soul. Wow. This is something that I've learned and still learning to do. You need to block out the noise. How do you do that? Well, you create, and those at camp heard this, we talked about this. You need to kind of create your own spiritual sound studio. Don't look at me funny. I want you to just think about it. You know, in order to make a recording, quality recordings, don't they have to create a place where they eliminate the noise? Block out the noise? They create a place. And as a believer, you and I need to create a place where we block out the noise. Amen. The noise of the world, the noise of the television, the noise of the radio, the noise of all that's going on in your life. You need to create some kind of place to hear God.
Yes.
To get away and quiet. Where the interference is minimized. It's a place. I don't know how you do it. Some people, it's morning time. Some people, it's night time. Some people... But you know, it takes effort. You got to look for this. You got to look for this. Even a husband and wife that have been married for 30 years sometimes have to literally get away from the place they're at so they can go to a place so they can communicate. Why can't it happen there? I don't know. We've allowed so many distractions. My wife said, you know, we need to talk. You mean like we haven't been talking? I don't get it.
Why?
You know what she's saying? We've not connected in a non-distracted way. We're just there's too much interference. There's too much outside noise diluting this intimacy. You know, we need to resync, recalibrate in our relationship. And this came to me when you're looking to find your you know how you know you find it? When you feel like the inside, like I always feel when I get to the line of that song, Silent Night. Holy night, all is calm. Isn't that beautiful? When I taste that, when I'm seeking the Lord, when all is calm, you know what the next word, the next line of the song is? Can you remember it? All is calm, all is bright. Oh, that, like that song, His presence disperses my gloom and makes all within me rejoice. Spiritually, experiencing the Lord in this way is like watching a spiritual sunrise. It's a beautiful thing. It happens in the realm of the Spirit when you sense the presence of God, and it's such a peaceful calm that you can enter into the Spirit. Now, how do you do this? How do you block out the noise? Okay? Well, first of all, remember, practice makes perfect. Don't you wish I could sell you a little pill? A calm pill? Some of you are already trying that. You don't need me to give you one because your doctors are giving you those things. Okay, well, if it helps, that's fine. You need it if it helps. But you know what? We need to practice stillness. practice. Don't expect it to be instant. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You go to pray or you go to read your Bible and every weird thought, like where in the world does that thought come from? I mean, it just seems like on the inside, you know, that's spiritual warfare. There are spirits trying to interfere with you drawing near your Heavenly Father.
Yes.
And you need to learn. You need to practice this. Practice. Practice telling your mind to stop. Practice setting every other thing aside. It can wait, can't it? The day can wait, right? You know what a lot of us do? A lot of us start spending tomorrow's energy today. We're trying too much. We're trying too hard. Look, it'll wait. Jesus says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't fret about your life. We need to experience a renewal with our Father. We need to clear our head. Clear your head. Clear it. That means shut your phone off. That means forget about anything else. Whatever else is on your agenda, clear it off. Clear it. Hit delete. Clear your schedule. Clear your mind. How many of you feel better after you've cleaned the house and put things back in order?
Yes.
I sure do, because I hate it when I spend 30 minutes looking for the tool I misplaced. There's just something when things are in order and they're calm. It's easier. You need to clear your head. To seek the Lord and to experience Him on the level of the Spirit, you need to clear your head and you need to calm your nerves. Breathe. You know, don't think that I'm teaching some kind of mysticism. Look, what do you do when you're all agitated? What do you tell your children when they're... What do you tell them? What do you tell them? You tell them, calm down. Can you say that to yourself sometimes? Calm down. Breathe. Many of us know, we've had this experience when you've had difficult time going to sleep. One of the ways you can relax and help yourself enter a state of rest is just control your breathing. Calm yourself down. Calm down. Clear your head. Calm yourself down and then find your focus. Okay? Find a focus. You may want to call it get in the zone where there's no distraction. And you know what that is to me? When I am calm and quiet and I have found my focus, God's word leaps off the page to me. It speaks. It ministers to me. I receive understanding. I'm encouraged. I see things that I have read over many other times. You know, can I tell you what it is? If you are attempting to read the scriptures and you're not in this state, you know what it is? It is an act of discipline that you're not getting very much out of yet. I'm not saying that's not a practice makes perfect, but I'm telling you, if the Word of God is not to you a treasure that speaks to you and encourages you and instructs you and enlivens you and leaves you hungry for more,
amen.
You're not experiencing this. You're not experiencing it. Because when you get in this state, you're like David. Thy word is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Wow. I have more joy in thy presence than when their grain and their new wine abounds.
Yes.
So this will involve this other step. Sanctify a setting. The word sanctify means set apart. What am I talking about? Do you think you're really going to get a lot out of the scriptures with the TV on, you sitting right in front of it? Come on. Oh yeah, I can have my Bible side. No. You know what works for you, but you need to make a deliberate decision to create a place for quiet.
Amen.
Somewhere. Sometime. I can't tell you what works for you, but you must seek it.
Yes.
You must seek it. You must create the place. You must close your door. You know what? Jesus wasn't talking about just hiding. When he said, when he talked about prayer, you remember what he said? When you pray, do what? Enter into your... Well, there's a few distractions in there. Go into your closet. Go alone. It says of Jesus, even being the Son of God with perfect communion with his Father, you know what he would do? He would withdraw to the lonely places. He would get away from everybody and any distraction so he could commune with his Father. And this was his practice, the scripture says. And if you really want to experience the presence of God and develop this life where you experience him on a spiritual plane, you have to sanctify a place. You have to make it happen. You have to pursue it, you know. Basically, you're creating a time and a place for meditation. Meditation. You know, I don't need to read God's word all the time. The Bible actually encourages us to read, because how else are you going to learn it if you don't read it? But listen to this. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Yes.
And in his law, he meditates day and night. I don't need to be reading to be meditating. I can think about God's word in many situations. But when my spirit has been fed and tasted the goodness of the Lord, it lingers. It lingers. It has a lingering effect that I continue to meditate. Just like, you know what meditate, another word for meditation is rumination. Did you know, how many of you know that cows have four stomachs?
Yes.
Four stomachs. When they're grazing, they're filling up stomach number one. So they just pluck the grass and they just fill that stomach. And when they get stomach number one filled, what do? They sit down and get still. And then you know what happens when they sit down and get still? Stomach number one pumps food back up to chew it again. Ruminate. They chew on it again. Many times, the sweetness I get from God's word doesn't come while I'm reading. It comes while I'm meditating on it afterward.
Yes.
And it just comes. Understanding comes. Wisdom comes. Oh, I mean, I've never seen that before. It's just the Lord giving understanding on a spiritual plane. I didn't hear a voice. I'm just given understanding. Only God can give understanding in that way. I can teach, but only God gives understanding.
Amen.
And he's the only one that can do that. In spirit, God's word is open. I know the difference. I know when I have tried to pray, that wasn't very fun, and I tried to read the word, didn't get much out of it. And I know when I am in spirit, it's open. The word of God is open to me in the spirit. And in the spirit, prayer is not forced. Mm-mm. It feels like when I'm praying in the spirit, and I'm not talking about praying in an unknown tongue or unknown language. That can happen too. If you experience that, just fine. If it happens here in church, we just need an interpreter. That's what the Bible says. Because Baptists are not against the gifts of the Spirit. They're for order. But when we're told to pray in the spirit, and when I'm praying in the spirit, you know what? He leads me. It's like he's holding my hand and guiding me. And many times he brings this person to mind, this person to mind, this person to mind, this person to mind, just guiding me. It's the most natural thing. It's like I'm taking a trip in my mind. It's happening on a spirit level. And I'm experiencing the guidance of God, and I'm coming to my Heavenly Father. And you know what it's not doing? I'm not coming to God telling him all the things he needs to do. Come on, he's God. God needs me to instruct him on everything he needs to do. Oh, like, I'm the one with compassion. God, I know you really don't care, but I love this person. So for my sake, because I care so much, would you... You see what the attitude that is? That's wrong. God's love for that person is the only reason I care. And God already knows what that person needs before I ask. So when I'm coming to him, I'm coming to him thanking him for what he wants to do. Asking him to do what he has a desire to do. I'm coming in to agree with him. I'm coming to him affirming that he is the only one with the answer and the only one able. And I'm just agreeing with him. He asked people to look to him in faith. He asked people to pray to him. But he's not asking us to send up our ideas of what he needs to be doing. That's forcing it. That's not praying in the Spirit. And praying in the Spirit is not necessarily making a list and going down that list. Not necessarily. It involves something. Seeking to be in the Spirit involves quieting our body and soul and focusing upon spiritual matters. Okay? One of the helps to this is the God-breathed Scriptures. That's from 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture has been breathed by God.
Amen.
There's Spirit. God's Word is Spirit and life. And when I am in the Spirit, one of the ways it helps me get in the Spirit is reading the Scriptures. Because the Scriptures help me. Sometimes, in the process, as you begin to read, that's when you'll have a chance to shut out the noise, calm yourself down, and the quality of time may be enriched as you go. The first few minutes may be a struggle to calm everything down. But can I encourage you to learn to press through that until you enter into this state of quietness and rest where it really does become a sweet time of prayer, a sweetness. Something that you enjoy so much, it's just over before you know it. That's the goal. That's the kind of relationship God wants to have with us. Thanksgiving and praise can also help us get us there. Just thinking about how many mercies we've received. You realize how many mercies that I have had and received just to be here today? You think if my handicapped daughter had fallen down the stairs, I'm telling you, I wouldn't be here today. I'd be in the hospital with her. Or if my dad was in the hospital, I'd be in the hospital with him. Or if my wife was in the hospital, I'd be in the hospital with her. Or if one of you had a heart attack, I wouldn't be preaching right now, would I? You see how many mercies it takes for us to be able to do anything? When I just stop and think of how many mercies God gives me on a daily, I have a car that works. I have a house to live in. I can hear. I can see. There are so many things. And when I become thankful, my soul calms down. My spirit grows sensitive. It says, and then what the scripture says, Psalms 100, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Wow. For the Lord is good. And I get there. Here's my focus. I've entered in. The noise is being blocked out. I've calmed my soul. I've drawn near to God. And here's what I see. God, you're so good. That's what I see. And I am drawn to him. I am not there because some preacher told me I needed to be. I am not there to fulfill some kind of spiritual obligation. I am there because I am tasting that the Lord is good. And I'm experiencing how blessed is the man who trusts in him.
Amen.
That's what I'm experiencing.
Amen.
So just remember, as you come near this point, I need to wrap this up. Something is very important as you come to this kind, when you seeking this kind of relationship with the Lord. Next slide, Samuel. Always, always listen. Ecclesiastes 5 says this: walk prudently, carefully when you go to the house of God. Draw near to listen, rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that what they do is evil. Some people do all the talking in prayer and they leave no room for God. Can you imagine? How do you like that? You know, let's just say for grins that I'll make Sam God. I won't make myself God. Sam, you're God, okay? I'm talking. Sam, would you? Thank you. And that's an exaggeration. But how many of us, our prayer life is like that? Sam, do you have anything you'd like to share with me?
I've heard every word you said.
And knew it already. You know, there's a song by Larnell Harris. You guys, and the older ones of you might have heard it. But he was more popular in the 80s. The song was like this: There he was, speaking, picturing God in a rocking chair. There he was, just waiting in that old familiar place. I almost passed right by again, till I simply heard him say, "I miss my time with you. Those moments together. I used to be with you each day, and it hurts me when you say, you're too busy. Too busy trying to serve me. How can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my soul, wanting more than just a part of you. I miss my time with you." We need to, a significant part of our time seeking the Lord needs to be listen. That's learning to listen, it will make the difference. Jesus said, be very careful how you hear. He who has will be given more. But he who does not have, even that which he thinks he has will be taken from him.
Yeah.
Learning to hear the voice of God is so critical. And for today, the lesson I want you to take away as we close and ask Armando to come, I want you to take this. Learn to quiet your soul. Seek a place. Sanctify a place where you block out the noise, where you can experience God on the realm of the Spirit. Okay? That begin there. And we'll talk more about this next week and over the next few weeks. And if you have questions, as you're seeking this, if you run into difficulty, probably someone else around you has experienced that same difficulty. Get some help. But we must pursue this personal experience. Here's what I feel. If you and I are not experiencing God in this way, I am not doing my job as a pastor. I should not be prayed or paid just to come here and enjoy hearing myself speak, or even you hearing me speak. If the end result is not you get to experience God for yourself, I'm not doing my job. I should work myself out of a job by helping you learn to hear God so directly you don't need me very much. God is speaking to you himself. Isn't that what you want? Or how many of us still want that little jar we take off and with the spoon, you know? What do we call that? Baby food. How many of us still eat baby food? Okay, no. We don't want that. We want to learn to get our food directly, okay? Let's sing this song. Stand and sing with me as we have our time of invitation. And the deacons, if you'll get ready.